WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Lise Doucette. This is The Connection. Is it a breakthrough or a step back, a safe haven or segregation? The first gay high school is about to open in New York City. Harvey Milk High, a public school where gays, lesbians, bisexuals, any teenager worrying about sexual harassment is welcome to apply. New York City's Board of Education has given Harvey Milk High $3.2 million. It opens its door this fall to 100 students. The critics say, what a waste of taxpayers' money. Better to spend it improving education for all instead of a select few. Besides, is there anything such as gay math and sciences, they ask? Its founders and supporters say gay teens need a place to learn without insults and abuse. Harvey Milk High will provide a much-needed safe haven. Connection listeners, we're talking about a different spin on that separate but equal debate. Is Harvey Milk High the best way to tackle discrimination against gay students? Is segregation or integration the answer for gay teens? Do you have a child who would benefit from such a school? Teenagers, would you like to go to Harvey Milk High? Tell us. Our number is 1-800-423-8255. 1-800-423-TALK. Well, let's talk about it. Joining us first is David Mensah. He's the executive director of the Hedrick Martin Institute, and that's the home of Harvey Milk High. He joins us from the NPR studio in New York City. Welcome, David.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
Well, we're very glad you're joining us, because tell us, why is Harvey Milk High so necessary?
Well, I think it's important for people to know that Harvey Milk High School has been necessary for 17 years, and it continues to be necessary. While it is...
Right, because it's been around as a program rather than a full-fledged school for that long.
It has. It's been around as a program of a larger high school, but during that whole time, it has been providing a high school curriculum. The students have been taking what we call the Regents exam tests, which is the same curriculum and testing that all New York public high school students go through, and students have been graduating. They've been getting their GEDs, or they've been graduating with actual diplomas for that whole time period. So this is a very old program with a great track record and a proven record of success.
Tell us about abuse and discrimination. In the year 2003, teenagers with a difference with a sexual orientation, like being gay or lesbian or bisexual, they still have a problem?
They do, and it is the abuse and discrimination that was the reason that the Harvey Milk School program and now school was founded, why it continues to be a necessary option for some lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender kids. Kids who are identified in those categories by their peers are subject to an incredible amount of abuse and harassment. Nationally, kids who are identified as gay by their peers drop out at 3 times the national average. So 28% of gay teens drop out of school annually, and that is 3 times the national average. 40% of lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered youth don't feel safe in their schools. They report these are national statistics. They certainly are consistent with what we experience here in New York. And 70% of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered youth report experiencing some form of harassment or violence within their school systems. So we're talking about homeschool systems that for kids who are identified in this way are very, very unsafe settings. They are abusive sometimes on a daily basis for those kids, and that makes the program, the Harvey Milk School, not just important, but essential. Because
tell us about Harvey Milk High. Will it have the same curriculum as other public schools in New York City?
It will. It will. It will have a Regents curriculum. That means that it will be aimed at helping students be successful within the curriculum, allowing the kids to pass the Regents exam and graduate. So we have the same curriculum, the same licensed faculty like other schools in the region. It'll just be a little bit bigger.
And what about the principal, the teachers? Will they all be gay? Is that a condition to teach there?
Well, I think that the most important condition for teaching at the Harvey Milk School is that they'll be licensed, capable, competent teachers. really, which is the condition and the standard for all public schools in the New York City Public School District.
And what kind of students are applying and getting into Harvey Milk High?
I'm not sure what you mean.
Well, if you 100 students, we understand, will attend Harvey Milk High this
right.
fall. Are you
right.
getting a lot of interest in attending the school? Are there any straight kids who are applying to go to the school? Tell us a bit about who will be going to Harvey Milk High this fall.
We don't require kids to identify themselves by orientation. It's mainly what we're interested in terms of kids applying for the school is those who are being abused and harassed. And so the type of kids that are applying are the kids that are most abused and harassed in their home school systems.
But they would have to tell you that, and if they're going to tell you that, they'll end up telling you their sexual orientation, won't they?
Some of them do, some of them don't. And it is because some kids do tell us their orientations. We do know that some of the kids are straight who come to the school. But the really important point about kids who get admitted to the school is really how they're being treated by their peers. And their peers make all sorts of assumptions about their orientations. And what we think is important for all of us, all of our listeners, all of the people out there who are thinking really hard and hopefully thinking very seriously about this issue is it's really how people are responding to their assumptions about these kids. It's not their orientation itself that's making the difference. It's really how people are thinking about this issue that's making the difference. That's what makes it unsafe for these kids. When folks assume that they know about their orientation and then they abuse them and harass them, that's what makes this school so important and what makes it so essential and what makes it sad for these kids in their home school systems, because it's not their orientation that's the issue, it's how people treat them.
Well, let's hear a bit more about this. David, do stay on the line with us from New York, because we're going to bring in now a man who has been, as you put it, thinking very hard and seriously about the issue and reaching different conclusions. Jonathan Turley is joining us on the line from an NPR affiliate, KARA, in Dallas, Texas. He's a George Washington at the George Washington University Law School and teaches courses on constitutional law. Jonathan Turley, welcome to The Connection.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, you've been writing quite a bit about Harvey Milk High. You don't think it's a good idea? You say it reeks of segregation?
I think it's a terribly misguided idea. It's not that the intentions are bad or that the objective is bad. To the contrary, I've always been very supportive of gay rights. And the problem here is that many of us who've been supportive of gay rights are baffled by this decision. We think that it is incredibly self-destructive. And the reason is that essentially the gay rights movement has seen this as a major breakthrough, that there is a temptation to create a special high school and say, look what we've achieved. And I believe it's short-sighted, and I ultimately believe that it will undermine the movement. It's highly ironic that the gay rights movement is making its greatest strides. We just had Lawrence v. Texas, which just changed a whole area of law. We have people seriously talking about gay marriage. We have a reevaluation of the policy in gays in the military. The gay rights movement is right on the edge of achieving some of the goals that it has long dreamed of. And they've achieved those goals largely by modeling many of their efforts on the civil rights movement with Martin Luther King. So it's highly ironic that they, at this critical moment, would take a step back and adopt a variation of separate but equal. I mean, it's true that these children are not being forced to go to Harvey Milk. It is a form of self-segregation. But the logic is entirely puzzling that, you know, Mayor Bloomberg stands up and says, we're doing this because we have a discipline problem and we need to protect these students. Well, you don't solve the discipline problem by removing the students as if they're the problem. You solve the discipline problem by ensuring, which I believe you can, a safe environment. This money, this $3.2 million, should go to a special program for gay students. But you don't pull them out of the high schools. That's terrible, not just for the students who are gay, but also for the non-gay students. High schools are the last controlled environment before people become independent citizens. It's our opportunity not just to educate them, but to shape them as citizens.
And but isn't that the point that what David Mensah would say, that it is the last control environment? You know, Harvey Melchior believes that education is the cornerstone, it's the foundation. He mentioned the dropout rate was 3 times the national average for these gay teenagers. Don't they deserve one last chance to make grow up into confident teenagers to face the rest of the world?
Well, I think that David and I would agree on a number of things. One is, I entirely agree that gay students face a much greater chance of violence, much greater level of harassment, and it's unacceptable. And I believe that it's important for us to have special programs for gay students. But the solution of pulling them out, I do not believe is good for them or good for the system. This is the same argument that white educators made during the civil rights movement, that we're going to keep African-American students in African-American schools because there's violence and they need a chance to be in a safe environment.
Well, let me bring in David Mensah now. Let me bring in David. David, do you want to respond to these points being made by Jonathan Turley?
Well, I think it's so important that we keep continuing to talk and think about this, because I think that when we talk about ensuring safety, ensuring educational options for kids, that we're really careful when we talk about pulling kids anywhere, pulling kids out, separating them, and we draw parallels between the civil rights movement. These kids are fleeing from abusive homeschool settings. They are calling us themselves. The single largest referral source that we have for the Harvey Milk School are kids who are calling us themselves and saying, either I have already dropped out, remember, 3 times the national average. If we could ensure that these kids would have a safe and supportive educational environment, just like everybody else has a right to, then I think all of us in that ideal world would say, this is not necessary, but we do not live in that world. And while we are working towards ensuring that, what do we say to these kids who have already dropped out because they have been abused and harassed? Some of the kids tell me that they go to school early so that they don't have to get in fights or be harassed on the way to school. They hide before their classes open so they don't have to walk through the halls and get harassed. They slip into the classes and then wait till the classes are empty before running to their next classes because of the harassment they experience in schools. 80% of the kids nationally who our lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender report hearing frequent homophobic remarks in their school systems. This is a system and a structure that is doing its best, but it is not yet capable of ensuring, and I think that's really important language, right now in this world, it's not capable of ensuring the basic safety of these kids. And until that time, Harvey Milk is an important option, and it's so important for us to be able to maintain it, because right now it's the only one.
Well, we're going to continue this conversation about Harvey Milk High School, an all-gay high school in New York City. Connection listeners, is this the best way to tackle discrimination? Is a separate gay high school a safe haven from abuse or another form of segregation? We'd like to hear from you. Our number, 1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Lise Doucette. You're listening to The Connection from NPR. I'm Lise Doucette. You're listening to The Connection. This hour, we're talking about Harvey Milk High. It's an all-gay high school set to open its doors in New York City this fall. My guests are David Mensah. He's the executive director of the Hetrick Martin Institute. It's the home of Harvey Milk High. And also by Professor Jonathan Turley from George Washington University Law School. Connection listeners, do you have a child who would benefit from a school like Harvey Milk? And teenagers, would you like to go there yourself? Join us at 1-800-423-8255. 1-800-423-TALK. And we're already getting a lot of very interesting callers. Well, David Mensah was telling us about stories of abuse suffered by gay students and the fact that they need some protection. Jonathan Turley, how do you respond to that?
Well, as an educator, I'm horrified by those accounts. I mean, there's no disagreement about the problem. The disagreement deals with the solution. I do not agree with David that the New York system is doing the best it can. I think that this money could have been used for a special program for David's organization in order to go to these schools, deal with these problems, and hold educators accountable for the educational environment that they are creating. This is the same argument we heard in the civil rights movement, that we're not going to have desegregated schools because black students face such violence and such hostility, and they too were subject to these outrageous types of acts. But we as a society refuse to accept segregation, whether it's forced or self-segregation, as the solution. And the other problem here is that this is going to help 100 students. There's over 1 million students in the New York system and many, many, many thousands of high school students. And the number of gay students is much, much higher. And to help out 100 students, I believe you're going to create more problems for students who are gay or suspected of being gay, where now students are going to say, well, why don't you go to Harvey Milk? It's going to become this incredible conceptual problem for students, as other students who are intolerant say, there's a special school for you, go to Harvey Milk, instead of educators being told, you have to supply a safe environment, we will hold you accountable. And this is not something that is, as Mayor Bloomberg has said, you know, it's an impossible discipline problem. It's not impossible. What you do is you impose discipline and you hold educators accountable. When I hear David's stories about that, as an educator, my blood boils, because it means that there are educators in that building that see gay students adopting these furtive efforts and have not dealt with it correctly.
Well, David Mensah, how do you respond? It could make it worse.
Dr. Turley is right to have his blood boil about these stories. And I think that however, for he and I struggling with this conceptual problem, the kids are being abused and harassed right now. And that's really what I need to keep reminding people of, and that I absolutely believe that the school district, the teachers, all of the adults who care about young people, who care about kids in this society, need to be focused on keeping them safe, keeping them secure. While we are struggling with that, there needs to be a guarantee, an absolute guarantee for all kids, regardless of their orientation or identity, to have a safe and supportive place to get a good education. And Harvey Milk has been that for 17 years. It will hopefully continue to be that through this latest controversy, but it needs to be able to continue to survive. It's really important for people to know that this is not just a benefit to these kids. It's also a benefit to the larger society, because we have a success rate over the last 3 years. And I've been at the Hetrick Martin Institute for 17 months, so I have good statistics for about the last 3 years that I know of, and we have a 95% graduation rate, and we know that we get about 60% of the kids into college. So we are a successful program that is making sure that these kids, instead of dropping out, and many of them come to us after they have already left the school system, instead of dropping out, they're graduating, they're passing their Regents exams, and many of them are going on to secondary educational options, colleges and universities, and they are becoming having the option to really benefit the larger community and the larger society. This is an option that would normally be denied them simply because of the way they're treated in their school systems.
Okay, well, let's now bring in a student, because really people should speak for themselves on the connection. Vela McNamara is on the line from Windsor, Connecticut. She's the president of the Gay Straight Alliance at her high school. Vela, welcome to The Connection.
Hi, thank you.
Do you support Harvey Milk High? Would you like to go there?
No, I would not like to go there. I find the actual essential idea of what the Harvey Milk High School is trying to do very comforting, and it's nice to know that there is some place where if the harassment gets too unbearable, that there is some place that you could maybe get to, that you could maybe go to. But I think it's distressing that the educational system has come to such a point where we have to say, look, we have a separate high school for these gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender students that aren't getting the help they need in their educational systems.
Are they getting the help they need at your high school, Windsor High School?
At my high school, I feel strongly that things are pretty, they're pretty comfortable for gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender students. It's not overtly homophobic. It isn't physical harassment. It's more so internalized homophobia, constant homophobic remarks, as Mr. Menso is saying. But it's more so, it's not something where you would have to take gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender students out of the school.
But you, is that something you feel every day, Fela, when you go to school, when you walk down the corridor?
That I feel
somehow discriminated against, that people are saying things either to you or behind your back?
Yes, it is that. It's not exactly being referred to in a gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender manner. It's more so a slang that's been rooted deep into the schools that I think the teachers and the administration should start taking care of through teacher trainings and other sorts of support groups. I think having a gay-straight alliance in your high school is one of the first big steps to getting rid of harassment within high schools.
But what about you? And you must meet them, the students who actually need much more help, the people who drop out. Perhaps something like Harvey Melki, they need a bit more support and protection in their teenage years. Is that a good idea, or will that make it worse? Should they stay there and fight it out?
I think that really, I'm all about fighting it out with the other people. I think that if you avoid the issue, then it's not going to get any better, and it's almost like letting those people with their ignorance, it's like letting them win in a way. It's like almost saying, okay, I give up, I'm going to go here. But, I mean, if you're in a situation where your life is getting threatened, which I do have friends that have had that in their high schools, maybe that is a better choice for them.
Fela McNamara, president of the Gay Straight Alliance at Windsor High School. Thank you so much for joining us with your thoughts on this issue. And have a really good school year. We hope it goes well.
Thank you.
Well, we've got lots of people calling here on The Connection. We're going to take our first caller from Toronto, across the border in Ontario, Canada. Melissa, what would you like to say about this debate?
Hi. I just finished a documentary about three students who go to the Triangle program here in Toronto, which is Canada's only publicly funded alternative high school for GLBT youth, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered youth. And what I'd like to say is that the debate that whether it should or should not exist is that, yes, every school should be a safe place for all students, but the reality is it isn't. And the Triangle program exists because students are, just like in New York, as David was saying, are being kicked out of their homes, being kicked out of school. They're being harassed. They're being beaten up. There are horrendous things that are happening to these students, and they end up in a place where they have no alternative. And until the rest of the school system can come up to the par where it should be in terms of taking care of all its students, these kinds of schools have to exist.
Well, let me bring in Jonathan Turley. Jonathan, does that give you pause for thought?
Well, certainly all these points give me pause for thought. I mean, this is a subject which we should all pause and think about. But I have to disagree that I think creating a high school like this takes the pressure off people like Mayor Bloomberg. I mean, it's an easy thing for educators to say that we addressed this problem. We're going to continue to work in high schools. We've addressed the problem. We have this special high school. It takes pressure off of them. And that's not good. And I think it also is not good in the long run for the many more gay students. And we're only talking about 100, which is a very small number. But I think that conceptually it will set back many students. When I talk about this being the last controlled environment before we release these individuals into adulthood, that's a critical moment. I mean, the high school is where we train citizens. And the great promise of the gay rights movement, its potential and its success, is due entirely to assimilation. That is, the Supreme Court said recently in Texas v. Lawrence, where it struck down anti-sodomy statutes, it cited the fact that it is that the court and society has come to grips more with the gay community. It's now much more part of our society. Now, I happen to believe that the decision in 1986 they overturned was infamous at its time, and that case, Bowers v. Hardwick, was a 5-4 decision. And the fifth vote was Powell, who actually told his clerks at the time that he'd never met a homosexual and found out later that his clerk was gay. But Powell is a great example of how he later, in later years, he said he regretted his vote in that case. He was educated, and that education came from assimilation. And I think that it is a disservice to all of the students to allow even the small amount of segregation, instead of saying you're going to be part of society of tolerance and diversity, and this is your last environment where we will enforce it. And we did that in the civil rights movement. We went through years of pain, but we came out of it so much stronger. And Thurgood Marshall and the civil rights leaders were absolutely insistent that regardless of the pain that it took in those years, that segregation could never be equal, and that segregation is the very scourge of equal rights.
Well, let me bring in David Mensah here. David, do you believe that actually looking at it, the separate but equal debate, is we should look at it in the same lines that we look at the issue of black schools, or is there something different about discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation?
I think there is right now, and I think a better parallel would be battered women's shelters. I think that what we have said as a society that it is not acceptable for women to be battered by their spouses.
That's a different kind of abuse. That's violence.
And that is exactly the kind of abuse that kids, many of them, are experiencing. The same kind of verbal harassment that many battered women talk about, followed by the same kind of physical harassment that those women talk about. Again, remember that when we talk about pain for our society, when we talk about how much it hurts, let's remember who is suffering that pain. It is our children. It is our children that are suffering that pain. And while it is important to know that it is only 100 students for this fall and 170 students for the following fall, when that will be the largest, that will be the actual total of the school eventually, 170 students, that Dr. Turley is correct, that the vast majority of students remain within the larger school system. So in New York City, there's 1.1 million students. If you go by the 10% rule, that means 100,000 of them are lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered. That means the vast majority of students are staying in. There is a great deal of diversity that remains within those systems. The only students that we are seeing and providing a successful and safe educational option for in the Harvey Milk School are that small group of students that are being so harassed and abused that it really does become a safety issue, a safe refuge, but it's a successful one.
David, let me bring in Jonathan Turley. What do you think about that parallel, Jonathan, with battered women?
Well, first of all, I'm not a doctor, but I appreciate the reference. But I'm afraid I don't agree with the analogy. I think the analogy is pretty close between what we're doing here and what happened in the civil rights movement. With abused women, you're talking about acts of violence where we set up shelters to protect them from further physical harm because they are being hunted, they're being pursued. We need to keep them protected because there are criminals trying to hurt and kill them. There is no question that gay students face that type of violence. Most of the students that go to this high school probably will not be actual victims of violence, but I agree with David that there is other forms of abuse that they're trying to avoid. But I don't agree with the analogy, but more importantly, what we're talking about here I think is a critical moment for the gay rights movement, that for those of us on the sidelines who have supported them through the years and believe that the gay rights movement is part of our overall civil rights movement in this country, we're the ones that are telling our friends like David that this is a very important symbolic victory for many gay rights people, but it's going to be a pyrrhic victory, that ultimately the gay rights movement is taking a step back, that they cannot surrender this ground conceptually. And what we need to do is to tell people like Mayor Bloomberg and the New York school system that we won't tolerate it.
Let's bring in some of our connection listeners to see what they think on this debate. We're going to bring in Ivan, who's calling us from Troy, North Carolina. Troy, what would you like to say?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I was just wondering, what about when the students get out of school? How does the school help prepare them for life, you know, in the real world and, you know, going to college? It seems that the new measures within the public schools, you might want to look into that a little bit more. And I'll just take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Thank you, Ivan. David, how do you prepare them for the broader world afterwards?
I think we prepare them the way that the public school systems are designed to do that. We give them the best possible education. We give them great teachers. We give them exposure to their larger community so that I think that it's a misconception that anybody is really isolated from the larger New York community at Harvey Milk, and they get exposure to the larger cultural community, the larger education and academic community. They get to visit colleges. They get to think about where they're going to go in their careers, whether that's in science, whether that's in music or performance, whether that's following their dream. We prepare them in the same way that we as a responsible society are committed to doing that. And we make sure that they learn what they need to learn in an environment which is conducive to doing that. And I think it's really no big mystery. Our graduation rate, the 95% of the people that are getting into that are graduating from the school, 60% of the people that are getting into college or secondary educational options, they're saying to us that we are ready to move on. We are ready to take that next step, and we're ready to do that after a good, solid, safe, and secure high school education.
Well, let me bring in Jonathan. What do you say to that, Jonathan, briefly?
Well, I think that is wonderful about those rates, but you know, there's a way to deal with the discipline problem, and that is you take the next case of a kid who abuses a suspected gay student and you say, you are not graduating. And that's called deterrence. And there's very little of it going on. I think that this is not an solvable problem. We face this problem. We've solved it at other times. We can solve it this time, but we've got to deal with it directly.
Well, let's hope so. How to deal with discrimination. We're talking about a new spin on the separate but equal debate. Harvey Milk High, a new all-gay high school. Connection listeners, we'd like to hear what you think. Is ending discrimination the final goal, or is it integration? Our number, 1-800-423-8255. 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Lise Doucette. You're listening to The Connection from NPR. Doucette, you're listening to The Connection from NPR, and today we're talking about educating our teenagers, gay and straight, and whether a separate school for gay teens is the right answer. Our guests today are David Mensah. He's the executive director of the Hetrick Martin Institute, home of Harvey Milk High School, the first public schools for gays set to open its doors in New York City in the fall, and also Professor Jonathan Turley from George Washington University Law School. Connection listeners, we want to hear from you as well. Our number, 1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK. Well, it looks like lots of people want to talk about this issue. We're getting lots of callers. Let's now hear from George, who's on the line from Brookline, Massachusetts. Good morning, George. What do you want to say about this?
Well, I wanted to say I was listening earlier, and I was struck by the description of what the students go through hiding from class to class. That was my experience in public school, but I'm not gay, and it's true that many of the students who abused me thought that I was gay or teased me in that way. I'm not a macho guy, and I was just, do you have to announce that you're gay? I mean, where do people like me fit into this whole? Our abuse that we would be suffering would still happen to us, and there's no place where we can go if you set up an institution like this. And I'm just wondering, this doesn't address the broader issue of abuse in general in school. It just says gay people get a place where they can go, and straight people who get abused have the same have to deal with the same thing every day.
When did you go to high school, George, if I can ask?
In the 80s, 82, 83. I eventually went to a private high school where gay people were more accepted, and it was very good for me, but I had to get out of that system or else I would have been, I had to get away, but, I had to pay millions of dollars to do it. And geeks get beat up just as much as gay kids do, as well as...
That's why you think you were abused, because you were regarded as a geek.
I was regarded as kids thought I was gay. my best friend actually came out after we graduated from college and, you know, things like that. But everyone thought I was gay, you know, and even made me think maybe I was gay. And I realized, you know, I'm not. But it was it was a terrible thing to have to fight with. And I'm not gay. And I'm just wondering why we set up a special place for gays. Why not set up an institution where tolerance of everyone is you know, enforced or indoctrinated or whatever it is, because this abuse is, it's, you know, it's terrible. It's had a terrible effect on my life, and I just don't know that segregating and saying gays have this special problem. Everybody has, you know, there are lots of kids who have this problem who aren't gay, and they have nowhere to turn.
George, thank you very much for calling and sharing your story with us. David Mensah, how do you respond to that? Well, you originally said that you don't ask the students sexual orientation, so could someone have George, like George, have gone to Harvey Milk High?
Yes, in fact, we are because kids do volunteer this information, we do have kids who are or were like George, who have come to the school, who have been abused and harassed because of people's perception about their orientation. They get abused and harassed exactly like George is describing, based on people's perception. And I think, again, we focus a lot on the kids themselves and their orientation, you know, and all of those questions. And the real point is how people are treating them, and that's really why we exist. I think it's a great question, and it's a great challenge to all of us.
But wouldn't once he went to Harvey Milk High, then all the gay students would say, "You must be gay," and he'd say, "Well, no, I'm not," and then there would start another kind of abuse of a sort, because it's the school would be identified as being that kind of a school. So even if you went and weren't, you'd be put into the same category.
If you're asking in part whether or not kids tease each other and get teased at the Harvey Milk School, they absolutely do. It really is like many other schools in respect in terms of teasing. They just don't abuse and harass one another. They don't create situations that are so unsafe emotionally and sometimes physically for one another that the environment doesn't allow them to be successful academically. There is teasing at the school, of course. It is a regular high school.
Part of
in so
being
many ways.
A teenager.
Yes.
Well, I think we need really to bring in some teenagers. Your Mary is on the line from Sumter in South Carolina. Mary, what would you like to add to the conversation?
I just wanted to say that being a high school student myself and being gay, it's saying that there's a special place where I can go is saying that you don't have to be tolerant. Being there at the high school is kind of the old cliche statement, I'm here and I'm queer. But how does it really help me to go somewhere else and they can just keep on with their homophobic comments and mentality instead of learning to be tolerant, saying that there are other people there that are different than you?
So what would you think, Mary, would be the answer then?
I think it's, as they've said, as Jonathan said before, that they have to crack down. There needs to be a zero tolerance policy for basically hate crimes is what this is turning into, the harassment. And
so what teachers have to help? Other students have to be told that this is simply not allowed?
They do, and it needs to turn into not just you're not going to graduate, but I think you will be prosecuted.
But how strong is the abuse? We've heard from David Mensah that the dropout rate among gay students is 3 times the national average, and he said that it has to be considered like battered women. I mean, is it that grave a situation?
It is, and but I think that once we teach them, you know, you have to get used to it. You have to become a more tolerant person. Then it won't be as bad. But if you just say, well, since you don't like them, we're going to put them in a special school. And I don't like the way that doesn't feel right to me.
Mary, let's hope it does get better. Thank you for calling us with your story from Sumter, South Carolina. We're going to take a caller now from Brooklyn, New York. Roger is joining us here on The Connection. Roger, what would you like to say about this?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Great topic. Listen, I went to the Bronx High School of Science, a supposedly elite, enlightened school. Happened to have a girlfriend who was African-American, Hispanic. We got teased mercilessly. One of us was attacked. It was horrible. If Dr. Turley had wanted to make a school that was more enlightened, I don't think he could have found one better. But you just can't enforce tolerance. People will get attacked. People will get hurt. In short, my high school experience, which should have been enriched and wholesome, was horrible. I had to drop out in my third year. I mean, I eventually went to college, but it was a god-awful experience. And my girlfriend never went to college. She was traumatized. So you can't, the teachers and the principals aren't going to do it. They won't do it. Tenured teachers, tenured principals, that's not going to help. My understanding of his argument, I think it's just a control thing. He doesn't want to envision any kind of innovation outside the public school system. And what's happened, if Dr. Mensa has put together this one place where people can go and feel safe, those people will get a good education, an enriched education. They'll go on to do great things. They won't have to go through what I went through. And from the caller previous, she's here and she's queer and she's having the problems. Wouldn't it be great if she had a place she could go to instead of having to deal with it? For every year that she loses being harassed is a year you probably won't get back later in life. We allow it in college. There are predominantly African-American schools, predominantly all-female schools. They're great schools. Why can't we allow the kind of innovation in high schools? Thanks very much.
Roger, thank you very much. Jonathan, I'll bring you in here since he addressed you directly.
Well, I'd like to respond to the last three callers. First of all, I think that part of the wrongness of this idea is I think that naming this the Harvey Milk School is like naming a all-black high school the Thurgood Marshall School. I think that it is a contradiction of what these men stand for. I mean, when Harvey Milk was asked, how should gay people let – to what extent should you let it known that you're gay? He said, you know, everyone must know. That his view was much like Mary's. I mean, I think that Harvey Milk is looking down smiling and what Mary said, because that's precisely how the gay rights movement has made its successes and will make its successes. I think that, you know, when David said, you know, we don't have that level of violence and abuse in our high school, my answer is, then other principals should be able to do that as well. And we have to hold them accountable. It's not just tenure. There's a way to hold tenured people accountable. It's a question of policy and determination. And when the earlier student said, look, I was suspected of being gay, and that ruined my life, once again, I come back to the fact that at most this will have 170 students out of over a million in this high school. And it will create greater tension for the thousands of gay students and suspected students who are still in the schools. It will take pressure off the educators to make it a safe environment. It will help very few students in the long run. But what it will do is it will create this idea, as Mary suggested, that they're going to say, go to Harvey Milk. You know, there's a special school for you, that, you know, you can be segregated, that you can, students will try to chase people out of the schools instead of saying that we're going to hold accountable students who do this, they're not going to graduate, and we're going to hold educators accountable. When David tells
some
me
some very
that
good suggestions, John, but save that. They save those thoughts because we're going to take another caller here from Raleigh, North Carolina. Mike is on the line. Mike, what would you like to contribute to the conversation?
I appreciate the torment these students are going through. I experienced that, as many people have. I was just wondering, wouldn't it be more productive for society if we had a school where the tormentors were placed so they could be rehabilitated for when they have to enter society?
Did you yourself experience any kind of abuse at school?
Oh, I did, just because geeky look, introverted, and of course that snowballs, and you have the bully who's in charge of his gang. And so you remove the leaders of the bully gang and put them in a place where they can deal with their insecurities, which of course is what a bully is, just somebody who's insecure about themselves, rehabilitate them so that they don't grow up to be abusive husbands.
And do you think Harvey Milk High is a good thing, even though you made another suggestion?
Sure, but I think it's a great thing. Keep the gays in high school, put the bullies in Harvey Milk.
Mike, thank you very much for that comment. David Mensa.
Yes, yes. I guess I'm just moved and listening very deeply to the comments, especially from the young people that are calling in. And I just appreciate that people are taking the issue of safety within the education environment so seriously. And I think that if this debate and this discussion raises the level of attention, I'm mostly impacted by, in a way, by the fact that we have not done a good job of educating people about how really dangerous it is in high school for so many young people, including lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered young people, that people don't really realize that. I hear their anger in the callers' voices. I hear the Fela and Mary and individuals saying, you know, it is unsafe. I do know kids that have had their life threatened, and I just realized that people people don't realize that. And for now, I just have to reemphasize that while none of us in an ideal world believe that this is the final solution, it certainly isn't the only solution. For now, in the real world, we need to make sure these kids have an option to get a good education.
So in other words, if the dialogue did advance to such a point that the teachers dealt with it, educators of all kinds dealt with it, it could make Harvey Milk High redundant. You know, wouldn't need it. It wouldn't need a separate place.
Absolutely, and that's really would be wonderful, but it's not that world. And for now, we can't say, well, we'll sacrifice these kids while the rest of us are catching up.
Jonathan Turley, what about that? For now, at least some effort to help the worst, those who are worst affected.
Well, what I would suggest is that when you're dealing with equal rights, means are important. It's not just the ends. Means are important. The means you use, educate, inform people. I think the caller that said, you know, the people that should be removed are the people who are the abusers. I think that's exactly right, that we need to have a program where we have these instances identified, the abusers identified, and to remove them. They're the problem, not the victims. And in that way, the means and the ends gel. That is, we have a consistent approach as educators to say that there is a place of tolerance. It's called high school. And if you are acting in an intolerant way, you don't belong in that environment. You've got to go to a special school, and you may not graduate. And if you're an educator, if you're a high school teacher, and you see, if I was a high school teacher instead of a university teacher, and I saw one of my students sitting in a classroom trying to avoid being abused in the hall, and I did nothing, then I'm part of that problem. I mean, I could be abusing that student directly because I'm morally responsible. And so we have to hold people responsible, and this problem will be dealt with.
Well, it's a clarion call, isn't it, for change right across attitudes in our society. Good guest today, David Mensah, Executive Director of the Hetrick Martin Institute, home of Harvey Milk High. Thank you very much for joining us. Also, thank you to Jonathan Turley, Professor at George Washington University Law School. And if you've been listening, you heard earlier from Fela McNamara. She's president of the Gay Straight Alliance at her high school in Windsor, Connecticut. Connection listeners, the conversation isn't over. You can learn more about Harvey Milk High and continue the debate on our website, www.theconnection.org. The Connection is produced by a huge team of great people: Halil Bird, Sean Carberry, Sarah Field, Elaine Grant, Kelly Jones, Orit Karitsky-Fox, Jen Mattson, Lindsay Miller, Christina Russo, and Doug Shergretz taking us all that wonderful sound. Our intern is Gabe Zaranowski and Alex Vagan. Senior producer is Tara Murphy. I'm Lise Doucette, in for Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection, and it's coming to you on NPR here in Boston.